Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas with the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live. 200 Fox Sports radio stations, coast to coast, 6 o'clock Eastern, drive time. 3 here in Vegas. We got an action-packed Tuesday. Yes, college football. Big weekend coming up. Brad Powers, one of the pros who know in studio. Steve Fezzik, NFL expert. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to know more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. Now, the weekend edition of Straight Out of Vegas, Bernie Fratto, longtime host in the Detroit area. I say Detroit, and we're on in Detroit and Philadelphia, baby, nationwide. Bernie was on the ground when Barry Sanders retired, Calvin Johnson. So in the second segment, we'll be talking to him in studio. Jonas Knox, day 4 of 4. I mean, who knows what kind of tan this guy's going to come back with. Maybe even an arm tattoo, an additional one. It's going to be a lot of interesting insight from him tomorrow. First, though, starting the show, back to Andrew Luck. The aftermath, day 2. So you have the reaction, you have the reaction to the reaction, and then you've got the reaction to the reaction, something. All right. So I think what we're seeing is a lot of talk about the fans. And I got to tell you, it seems crazy that you're going to critique the fans when they really had no context or insight, when it was just a gut reaction. It's almost back to the Toronto NBA Finals. I think it was the Finals. Where there was
it's Kevin Durant.
Durant went down, yep. Crowd's going, you know, excited. And it's like, how could they cheer for that? Well, one, the play was still going on. So it's inconvenient to say, well, actually, they were looking at the ball and their team was going down to score. And also, when someone falls, you don't have any idea. It's like when someone falls back on their chair, you know, an office chair snaps. Who isn't going to laugh, yeah. Right? Now, if somehow he stands up and he's got a splinter of plastic in his spine and he's gushing blood, then you quit laughing, right? Or at least normal people do. Fezzik might laugh more on the inside. Who knows? But the fact of the matter is that nobody knew if Andrew Luck was quitting because of, and even Colin today said, and this is interesting because he's an Andrew Luck fan. I would say as much as any quarterback, except maybe Sam Darnold now. But he said if Andrew Luck retired for any reason other than, or maybe let's say for very selfish reasons. It was like, you know, I'm done with it. Colin said he would have been extra critical. He would have said, listen, this guy, the time of the year, it's one thing to do it in March. Give your team because let's be candid. The Colts went from one of the Super Bowl contenders to a below average team. And we'll actually break those numbers down next, but all on one guy's decision. If it had been made just on a whim, you got to say, what about the fans? What about your teammates? And Colin is excusing it by saying, yeah, but if he's got chronic unbearable pain, it's only reasonable to quit. It's like, but when did that pain get chronic and unreasonable? Because I'm guessing he's not in a lot more pain than a lot of players in the NFL. Now, does that mean it's right? A lot of people drink and drive. A lot of people do things that are wrong. A lot of people suffer through marriages, the woman or the man or both. That we, you know, kind of the American way of kind of gotten through in a way we consider that virtuous. You know, you look at Ali and Frazier and The Thrill in Manila and you say, there you go. That's a, you know, that's the American way. That's guts. It's like, yeah, but, you know, both guys had real mental impairment. And you can say, well, we don't know what the Parkinson's connection is. Eh. Anyone around Ali, anyone around Frazier said that neither were, they were never the same after that fight. But it's one of the great sporting events in modern history. So do you love it? Do you hate it? Thinking people, I think both. So I look at Andrew Luck and I think, yeah, I do love the idea of a guy who guts through. Brad, we were talking before the show, Brad Powers, about Kevin McHale and that he made a decision. This is kind of a famous story. And as sports fans, we listen and think, go Kevin. That is a teammate. So a lot of listeners know about it, but give the quick synopsis.
Yeah, so prior to a playoff game, Kevin McHale is told, hey, if you play in this game, you're never going to walk the same again with your foot. Kevin McHale says, put my shoe on. Let's go play.
I don't know if it was that flip, yeah. But he played, right? Yeah. And the question is, do we, you have to, for, you know, like, again, smaller case, but if someone's rushing a machine gun nest in war, you know, WW1 and dies, you can say, well, I wouldn't particularly want my son to rush, but on the other hand, I would, because that's about as courageous as you can get. Now, this isn't war, this is sports, but the idea of saying I am suffering for tomorrow to win today, I don't think there's anything more American than that, at least it's been up to this point. But if you think about how evolved it seems like the conversation has become in regards to, you know, CTE, in regards to, you know, look at wrestling and a lot of premature deaths. Obviously with PEDs, obviously the lifestyle on the road for a lot of people, especially wrestling, for example, you know, Vicodin and vodka, and that doesn't help the lifespan too much. So on one hand, back in the day, that was a joke. I mean, I remember Mike Golick talking about he got a concussion once and the way that they addressed it was to take him down the end of the field and hit another guy just head on a couple times just to say, you know, work through that ringing in your head. Now, today that sounds like someone would literally go to jail over a coach that did that.
Yep.
We've evolved extremely fast. Here's the question we have to ask ourselves as sports fans. If a player is going to sacrifice his lifespan to play, do we want him to play? So think about your favorite player in the NFL. All right? Fez, Jimmy G.
No question.
I mean, it's not a question, is it?
Love Jimmy G.
I love Jimmy G.
No, you see, you got to say it with that real deep quiver. And that baritone, but that little quiver, that 5 a.m. quiver, that's a whole different thing. Would you want Jimmy G to play in a game in which his lifespan was going to be compromised? Maybe 6 months, right? You're an actuary, former actuary, right? You understand this better than anyone. Someone smokes, every year they smoke, there's an effect, right?
Correct.
So do you want Jimmy G doing that?
Yes, I do.
And what's the thought process?
Selfishness. Want to see him out there.
It feels like you're kind of playing, because the funny thing is when you say the things that are so selfish that you typically do, you're sincere. Here, I think you're trying to play a character. So let's take a step back. Do you want to see Jimmy G? Honestly, you're saying, hey, your lifespan? I don't give a care about that. I want to watch you and see you take the helmet off and the hair, the jawline, all that stuff.
Well, the bottom line, RJ, is that just making the decision to be an NFL player impacts your life expectancy from the get-go. In fact, I ran some numbers.
All right, so slow down, because you once again stepped on my big reveal. So he did it, that darn actuary with all of his knowledge, By the way, we're straight out of Vegas. That's Steve Fezzik. I'm RJ Bell. That's going to now repeat what Steve said, but maybe a little bit better. Anyone playing the NFL, statistically, their lifespan suffers. So if the answer was, oh, no, what? Someone's life over a game? Forget about that. Literally, the math tells us, and we have hundreds, if not thousands, of players to look at, that if you consider every other situation and just the one variable is we're examining, do you play in the NFL or don't you, that affects your lifespan. So we literally would have to shut the game down if we said we don't want people compromising their lifespan, their years on this precious earth. We all accept that. The owners do. The players do. Now we say, hey, it's their choice, but you can also say, but do they really understand what the choice they're making? Right? So Fez, you said you did some math. What is that effect of playing in the NFL?
Yeah, 7 years. The life expectancy of a deceased player who in the NFL, age 69. The life expectancy of the overall population, 76 for a male.
Okay, so the net result of all that was how much is the sacrifice?
7 years.
Okay. And this is if someone, some of the people in your sample was 1 year of NFL play, some were 20. So you just average it out. An average NFL player is giving up 7 years. Now, think about all of the little trite phrases. You know, nothing is worth a human life. Or, and it's like, okay, they're nice on greeting cards or bumper stickers. Unless someone could really question the math. And again, Fez is an actuary, literally, vice president at Transamerica way back when. I mean, it's been, what, 15 years? The math hasn't changed. I'm fine with it. I'm kind of, you know, my politics, I'm a libertarian. I'm like, do whatever you want. Just don't hurt me, right? Or hurt other people. And if you're hurting others, then we, you know, can't do it. And it's like these players are saying, yes, the money, the fame is worth it. But here's the next question. If you think about once you're rich, like whatever the calculation is, if it's, okay, you don't play NFL and you're going to struggle to have your own house, let's say. And again, obviously some players have other options. They could, you know, go into business. They could do a lot of, or they could go to a sport. Maybe they could be like a Nike Tour level golfer, right? Or an NFL player. Well, you could, you know, I don't know, Nike Tour, they make like 120 or something if they're good, I'm guessing. That's pretty good money. But if you're making 7 mil, it's like, okay, now how many years is 7 mil worth? All right. I'll give me 7 mil, I'll give you a year. All right. But once, am I going to give you a second year for another 7? I'm probably not going to. So it seems like that maybe we're going to look back and we're going to find out that whatever the logical calculation is for these players making this decision, that the percentage that logically would play 1 year, 2 year, 3 year is going to be very high still, even if we were looking square in the eye of this stuff. But the 8th year, 9th year, 10th year, once you have, and again, every NFL player doesn't have generational wealth, but if you're just on a roster for 6 or 7 years and you're not spending like you're on Ballers, you can set yourself up, buy a couple car washes, whatever is going on. Now, again, we know a lot of players don't do that, and that keeps them wanting to play or needing to play in a way financially. But Fez, if I told you 7 mil for a year, you taking it?
Yes.
All right. And then if I said, I'll give you another 7 mil for a year, at a certain point, you're going to say no.
No, thank you.
So you're saying no to the second one?
My yacht's big enough.
Now, Brad, I'm guessing you take the second year.
I take the second
year.
You
figure you're going bald. I mean, those last years aren't going to matter as much.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, look at Fezzik's hair.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some people you look at and you say, you know, he's going to be, or he or she's going to be great in her 60s or 70s. I'm not sure I will, right? Because one time I had the flu recently, or I was a little sick, and everything was just 2 seconds off. Little, And I'm thinking, man, my personality would not work if I wasn't as smart as I am. So when I'm in my 60s or 70s, wherever that drop starts really happening, am I going to be able to say, well, I got to be a little less of an a-hole. I got to be real nice to people now because I'm not always right. Oh, wait, did I say always? I meant sometimes. A majority, 55%.
More like 95.
I'll take it, Fez. You know, you got to give Fez credit. In a way, I think he's trying, because the whole world sees me beat him up intellectually so often that in a way, by him jacking me up, it makes him not look like, well, yeah, this guy no one could battle with, so I might be the second best. Is that the plan with all the compliments?
Logical.
That was good. A little Spock action. Speaking of math, here's what we're going to do. When we come back, we are going to go through the numbers of game one, the season, the Super Bowl wins. How have the Colts been affected? It is dramatic. This is the pregame show you always wanted.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas. Jonas Knox, day 4 of 4. Well-deserved vacation. Joined by Brad Powers, Steve Fezzik, talking Andrew Luck. We're on 200 Fox Sports radio stations, coast to coast. You can listen there, including Philadelphia. Just added yesterday, Straight Outta Vegas was the first show of the Fox Sports Radio Network on in Philly. Could have been something about 6 Eastern. I'm just going to assume they chose us because this station in Philly is really emphasizing gambling. And they're going to have their own local 3-hour gambling show, Philly-centric, Straight Out of Vegas. And many other of the Fox radio personalities on. Now, what we try to do is bring a little bit of fun of Vegas to you each weekday. You can listen on Sirius. You can listen on the podcast. You can listen on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app. Right now on the Strip, 106 degrees. The neon is flowing. Okay, Fez, we talked about it in the first segment. If you play in the NFL, you are statistically giving up lifespan for what you get from the game, money, fame, etc. It seems a little bit disingenuous not to admit that. And also, if you look at it logically, a lot of players probably still would play for a while. But would they play that fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth year? Forget 15th or beyond. And I think a lot of people, once they have enough money, the diminishing utility of those additional dollars, probably the equation changes. Now, we know it changed. What's the consequence? So this is the Vegas perspective. So let's look at season wins. Season wins over under a certain number of wins of the 16 regular season games. Now, an average team, 8, right? A good team, you know, it's funny. A lot of people think 12, 13. You don't get that. So, for example, New England has the highest win total this year, and the number is?
11.
11. So if they go 11-5, they meet expectations, the Pats. 12 wins exceeds, 10 wins falls short. Now, the lowest team, because I remember Arizona was 31, right?
Yep.
Miami's 32, right?
Yep, 4.5 wins.
4.5.
That's so low.
5. You know, you see they're looking to get clowny. So, interesting. The Colts, before the Luck announcement, and let's go back before this injury seemed to be worse than anyone thought. Because even, 2 weeks ago, there wasn't a sense that Luck was hurt, right? Fez, you're nodding on radio.
It started about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, so call it 3 weeks. All right. What was the Colts over-under? And let's understand again, 11 is the high end for the Pats, 4.5 low-end Dolphins. Colts were?
10 wins.
10 wins. So, wow, there was only, 4 or 5 teams better?
4 teams better.
Okay. Who's those 4? Pats?
Pats, Kansas City, Rams, and New Orleans.
All right. New Orleans. I was corrected many times on the New Orleans part. I'm RJ Bell, Straight Out of Vegas. So, wow, this is, the fifth favorite. Tied, perhaps, but Andrew Luck's gone. One player. We always say quarterback is king. The win total went from 10 2?
7.5.
7.5. So tied at worst to be the fifth best team in the NFL. One player retires. He's out. And now below average. That's how close, as Al Pacino said, a game of inches the NFL is. Now, Fez, just in general, because I find this to be fascinating, let's keep it high level and let's keep it quick. But we're going to give you, I mean, this is what you dream about. You know, you probably think, you know, I wish RJ would ask me some more math questions. You know, I don't know if math on the radio is all that interesting, but math's important. You know how you have that internal dialogue?
Unfortunately, I do.
Exactly. I think the math is actually fascinating at this point. So Andrew Luck is worth 7 points or so?
6 points because versus Jacoby Brissett, because Brissett is a very good backup.
Okay, so you would have Brissett as, one of the top 6, 7, 8 backups?
Correct.
Okay, so what we're saying is it's always relative, whatever the value is to the backup. So the worst backup in the league, if Luck was the quarterback, the starter, and his backup was the worst, what, does that get up to what, 8.5, 9 points?
9 points, right.
Yeah. So, oh, that's interesting. I've never thought of this. The range from the worst backup to the best backup is what, about 2.5, 3 points?
Yes.
Okay, that's interesting. I never thought of that. Math, it's fascinating. I mean, even having, if you have your adding machine, I mean, think, it's like, that's exciting. Like, I wonder what he's doing. Oh, that was that 3 digits? Right? Oh, and then it's like, here's a solution. It'd be funny if it was just random number, you know, like all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. So, Fez saw The Shining, apparently. Yeah. That, it's amazing, though. You never quote from that movie.
I will going forward.
Oh, please don't. I mean, imagine him going, Red Rum. Like when he gets mad,
yeah.
He doesn't want to admit that he's mad at me. And he'll have like a little character that starts talking. It'll be like his little finger agent.
I can definitely see that.
I love it. I love it. It's just hilarious, man. On to the math. 6 points a game, 16 games.
96 points.
96 points. How many points is a half a win in the NFL?
17.5 for half a win. All 35 right. points for one win.
All right. So what we're saying is, now I use this as an example on Twitter Saturday night when all this went down. And I said, if you're able to bet it, here's a good tip whenever there's this very unexpected news. It could be in retirement. It could be he's out for the season. The books, obviously, even on the night shift, and that's something people don't realize, is the A team is there at a certain time, the B team is there at a certain time, and yes, there's a C team. And the C team is there on a non, you know, big football Saturday night. So Saturday night, the C team was in, right?
Right, only 2 games played.
And the C team says, uh-oh, Andrew Luck retired, we better take the Colts stuff down, right? Even the C team gets that. What the C team doesn't get, and quite frankly, sometimes the B team won't get, is who else is going to be drastically affected is going to be in division.
Yep.
And that's one thing you can always assume is the answer, which is in the NFL, something that's overlooked, it's the division effect. How tough the division is, the way the division is affected, because it's 6 of your 16 games. And people tend to undervalue that. So now all of a sudden, you got Andrew Luck worth 6 points. You play that team twice a year if you're the Jags, if you're Tennessee. And it's a situation where you just gained 12 points.
It's worth a third of a win.
Now think about that. So you're saying that a 35 points is a win in the NFL.
Yes.
12 points of edge for the other 3 teams in the South, AFC, and that's about a third of a win. I mean, that's big. That's significant. One player for the opponent being out, a third of a win. But you're saying, RJ, would we really bet over on, you know, Tennessee because of a third of a win? It's like, maybe if you were on the borderline, right? But then if you have the chance to bet division winner. So now it's not only the Tennessee's, the Jacksonville's improve in that case by 12 points because Luck's out minus six both games against the Colts. But now to win the division gets so much easier because the Colts are being downgraded 6 points times 16 games. So did you notice on Saturday night that how many books within, let's say, 15, 20 minutes of the announcement had the Colts down? Did they seemingly all? And was anyone asleep at the switch? And then number two, what percentage of the books seem to have the next level, the division opponents, taken down to reevaluate?
Yeah, I think 75% of the books took everything down.
Mm-hmm.
About a quarter kept it up. So you have bargains, like you said, like the Houston Texans were 3-1 to win the division. Their true odds probably more like 2-1 after we saw Luck retire.
And did you get a piece of that?
I got a piece of the season wins. I whiffed on the divisions.
Really? But you were saying specifically you saw Houston at 3-1. What happened?
I had friends that bragged to me.
Oh, so you... Oh, my God. So what were you doing? Playing with little Johnny, not worried about making money?
I was at Sunset Station having dinner with the family.
You seem to have some really long extended dinners at buffets where you don't get charged anything additional no matter how much you eat. Now, is that a coincidence?
No.
Because, Brad, one of the funniest things you could ever imagine is I go, it's probably been about a year and a half, 2 years now. Occasionally I'll go to the Fiesta, which is way south, right, past Sunset Station. And good buffet, and sometimes they have movies there that they don't. I'm a big movie guy, and I go up to the buffet, and I like to be, you know, I'll bring headphones and just kind of zone out, and, you know, I'll have my fair share, right? And I walk in, I see Fezzik, I see his wife and Johnny at the buffet, and I literally see a coupon book sitting there.
Oh, my God.
And it's like he, and apparently at the time, and I think maybe this has been now that, you know, you've become national, Fez. You don't do this as much. But you guys would have like a weekly two-for-one coupon-type buffet experience.
We would.
Now, why are you talking in clipped tones? Why not just be expansive about it?
Well, I don't want to come across as cheap, RJ.
Well, but everybody that listens knows you are, right? So at what point did you stop? Did you finally think it's like, man, I'm, you know, it's like, I'm Fezzik. Why am I, like, at any point, was that the decision? Or do you just go to another buffet I don't know about with the coupons now?
I do the same thing, but I keep the coupon book inside my cargo pants.
That would really hurt your brand if you think about it. If someone on Twitter had a picture of Fezzik at the buffet, and it would be even better if they had the coupon book. But it wasn't a picture, it was a video. And then you see Fezzik taking crab legs and putting them in his pocket, like in his winter coat, but it's summer, but somehow he has a winter coat. I mean, that actually could destroy his career.
Yeah. It would be funny, though.
Jameis Winston all over again.
Well, but see, that was in the grocery store, right? Some people rationalize, I don't know if that's allegedly or not, but some people rationalize, hey, I'm at the buffet. I'm not eating as much as that guy, I'm sure. You know, he'll point. So it's like, I can take my mom, I'll tell you this, when she goes to like a salad buffet, she'll take 3 or 4 muffins home. And I'll go, Mom, you realize you're not supposed to take that. She goes, well, I didn't eat a lot and I need breakfast tomorrow. That's her rationale. Yeah. I need breakfast, so stealing's okay. All right, in just 1 minute, we have Bernie Fratto, host of the weekend edition of SOV. He'll be talking about his experience in Detroit with Calvin Johnson and Barry Sanders when they retired, and also his take on preseason game 4. Is it too long?
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Now, we've got Bernie Fratto in studio. He's got like 4 pages of tight notes. I don't think he's going to get to it all. This guy just over-prepared. If you listen to the weekend show, you know how prepared this guy is. And he did it like over a decade in Detroit radio. You worked with Rob Parker, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. We had dinner with him a couple months now?
Yeah, March.
Yeah. Nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've had the Odd Couple, which follows us, massive success with that show. And I think it's justified. I mean, they do that debate that embrace the debate type stuff as well as anyone, right? It feels very gentle. To me, it's always do the people believe it? Because there's nothing better than a good debate if both parties are being sincere. But when it's like, you take the player side this time and I'll be on the, you know, it's like, you can tell they don't believe it. And with the Odd Couple, I rarely, I disagree oftentimes with one of them saying at minimum, but I think they believe it. And I think that's what drives their success. And you and Rob actually did a show for a long time, right?
Rob and I did a couple hundred shows together in Detroit, including Lions Pre and Post with Mark Wilson. And oh, by the way, you're right, RJ. There's nothing about Rob that's contrived. He's purely authentic.
Yeah, so, I mean, imagine doing a show like all those years with Bernie. I mean, at that point, you would deserve national 3 hour, all the success you could have. It's like, if someone says, man, you're lucky, Rob, it's like, I paid my dues, you know? You don't quite know what he means, but I think I do. Now, that show, that weekend show, is 11 Pacific to midnight on Saturday, right? So right. Pacific time, 11 to midnight, every week. Bernie's been killing it with that. Let's start with the retirements. The two of the big ones pre-Andrew Luck in the last 20, 30 years, obviously Barry Sanders, obviously Calvin Johnson. With your Detroit connections, what can you tell us about their decisions and how we might apply them to what Luck decided?
A lot of similarities, RJ. These decisions are not made on an island. Barry Sanders and Calvin Johnson have families. They consulted with those families. This is quantum physics. They observed the effect that the NFL was having on their life, and it was a consensus decision. And the narrative back then was, oh, they'll be back. Well, they weren't. And the narrative is the same now with Andrew Luck. And I think the similarity is, again, back to those guys, these decisions were not made on an island.
Yeah. The thing about it, though, and the quarterback who signed with the Eagles, the backup, was it McCown?
Yeah, McCown. Yep.
It's funny. I haven't done this because I didn't want to bother taking the time to find the tweet. But, you know, when he tweeted out, I'm guessing he did because that was the story, is, oh, I'm retiring. I think it was June or whatever, and I want to spend time with my family. So now I was going to retweet that and say, I hope everything's okay with the family, you know, now that he's back. Like, did he really come home and go, man, these kids are brats. I got to get back to the NFL. You know, I mean, so – when I hear, like, consult with the family, I want to find the NFL player where, you know, the wife says, you know, I think you should quit. And he says, you know something? I don't want to because you said that. I'm done, right? It does feel like the family's often used as a crutch. But I think Bernie makes a great point, and it's really one we made the whole show, is when you have money, what you're willing to put up with, it should be less. If you're doing it for money, because if you're doing it for love, the love of it, then this is all moot point. You're going to do it,
yep.
Right? But Andrew Luck did not seem like he loved football on the podium Saturday night, right? It was obvious he no longer loved football. The question is, did he ever love it? And we talked about this yesterday, and I think it bears repeating. NFL teams historically have undervalued, for example, when they drafted the intangibles, the character issues. As we've gotten more and more mature, maybe thoughtful about, hey, what results in NFL success, I think we've all decided, hey, work ethic's very important with quarterback, for example. It's with every position, but if you don't work at quarterback, you're in trouble. Jamarcus Russell, whatever, okay. Doesn't matter your physical skills. Jeff George, doesn't matter. But how about the love of the game? And I don't mean that in some goofy Kevin Costner movie sense, but rather, are you, if it's Saturday night in May, would you rather be opening up some nightclub? Would you rather be home watching a movie? Right? So it's not just about the nightlife, or are you grinding on film? And I would make the case, unequivocally, the two best quarterbacks this century have been Tom Brady and Peyton Manning.
Yep.
Who have been the two most grinder types on film? I would say those two. Now, could someone say, no, this one quarterback? Yeah, okay. So these two are certainly in the top three, four, or five of grinders. Is that a coincidence? Well, one of them was the number one pick in the draft. The other one was the 199th pick. But the one thing that's the same is they worked like crazy. And Malcolm Gladwell talks about it in, this wasn't the tipping point. This would have been.
10,000 hour rule?
Yeah, no, not that. But it was that book.
Outliers?
Yeah, Outliers. Thank you, Bernie. Is in Outliers, he talks about that what they'll often find, because you'll say, wait a minute, if I'm 5'2", can I grind and make the NFL? Right. No. Or if my, you know, child, knock on wood, is, you know, not a great academically, can they become a professor? It's like, okay, every field has a minimum bar of whatever criteria we're talking about, height, weight, IQ, whatever it is. But once you pass the min, though, that factor becomes so much less important than usually work ethic, passion, et cetera. So, for example, you're 5'2", you're not going to quarterback in the NFL, right? But if you're 6', you would say, wow, okay, I'm past the bar. Where I think the bar is probably 5'11". We'll see with Kyler Murray. You're past the bar. And then you would say, but wait, if I was 6'6", it'd be so much better. Say, yeah, maybe. I think in general, Big Ben being as big as he is helps him. But if you could say, I'd rather be 6' and work like Breeze, or I'd rather be 6'6" and work like, I don't
Marcus
know.
Russell.
Or Flacco, yeah. Even, I would make the case as a Steelers fan. I would say I'd rather be Drew Brees. Now, if you look at the stats, it backs it up. Now, is it that simple? No, but again, Drew Brees is probably on that list of the 5 or 6 hardest workers this century, 20 years about. So in general, we know work ethic matters. Well, what does work ethic come from? Love of what you're doing. So as much as everyone, and this is going to be, in fact, this is what I'm going to do. I don't usually tease a take, but this is such a hot take, what I'm going to say next, that I got to hold it. So in 1 minute, well, I guess it's not a minute exactly, in a few minutes we'll say, I'm going to give a hot take about Andrew Luck that is going to make about 45% of you very angry. Back in a minute.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas. Jonas Knox back tomorrow. Well-deserved vacation wrapping up. What kind of tan will we have? Any tattoos? Is he married? A lot of questions tomorrow, 6 Eastern. We got Bernie Fratto, weekend edition, Straight Outta Vegas, 11 o'clock Pacific, Saturday night. Okay, Bernie. A lot of people wondering about the preseason. Oh, it's too long. You have a theory on this. By the way, for those that think it's too long, remember in 1977, there were 6 preseason games in the years prior. 78, it went to 4. A lot of people think 4 is too much. Bernie, what do you think?
If they change the current format, I think it's a huge disservice to the NFL, GMs, personnel directors, and the like. They need this time in its current format to evaluate talent in two areas, position battles and draft choices. They want to see progression from year one to year two with their draft choices. Without game live situations against non-teammates, you really can't effectively do that. By the way, John Gruden may keep 5 undrafted free agents. Kurt Warner said if they change the format, he may have never been in the NFL. Think long and hard, NFL. I think it's fine.
That's Bernie Fratto, weekend Straight Out of Vegas. You can follow him on Twitter. It's Bernie Fratto, F-R-A-T-T-O, Bernie Fratto on Twitter. Brad, we got 40 seconds. We're going to do the 4 big questions leading up to college football's big kickoff. The first one's easy. Clemson, Alabama. Colin thinks Clemson might be one of the best teams ever. How good is Clemson relative to Alabama if they played right now?
Right now, you can bet on this, RJ. Clemson's about a 2-point favorite over Alabama. I disagree with it. I think Alabama's just slightly better.
But Clemson is not, let's say, the best team you've seen in the last 10 years, for example.
No.
Not even close. So Colin loves Clemson. You respect them, but you don't like them near as much.
That's right.
Jonas is back tomorrow. We'll be getting deeper into the biggest games this weekend in college football, also NFL preseason. We gave you the odds. Next up, the odd couple.